But hey, let me jump into today's message just as a note of that to you. I am someone who regularly keeps a list. And I keep lists because I think because I tend to be forgetful. So I have to write things down. If you go on my office, on my desk, there will be lists of things to do. There will be lists of things I need to do in the future. I keep lists on my phones. I put reminders on my phone regularly so that my phone beeps or hums to remind me to do things. Anybody use your phone for remembering things other than me and stuff like that? Yeah, it helps to get me through. So lists work for me. They help me out to remember things and all of that. Paul would have had a lot in common with those of us who are list keepers in his life as well. And he puts lists all the time in the letters that he writes to us. As we read through Paul's epistles in the New Testament, he has lists about everything. His letters are filled with them. He has lists about here's the things that you should think about, and then he has lists of here's the things you shouldn't think about. And then Paul has lists like here's things you should do, and Paul has lists that say here's things that you shouldn't do. And Paul has lists where he says, and here's the fruit of the Spirit that should be in your life. And then he's got a list where he says, you know, and here's some gifts of the Spirit. Oh, here's a list over here of the armor of God, and here's a list over here of what love is, and here's a list of what love isn't. And Paul's just forever writing these lists of things for us. And as you go through them, there's so many that at times it can almost seem overwhelming. There's so many of all of the things to do and not to do and think about and not to think about and how to be and not to be. And then on top of that, in addition to all of Paul's lists, when you read through his epistles, Paul just comes across as this guy who's somewhat superhuman at times to me. I mean, Paul does things like, you know, he's in one city preaching, and the people get mad at him, and they drag him out of town, and they stone him. They throw rocks at him to kill him, and they throw stones at him until they think he's dead. And when they leave, they think he's dead, but it turns out he's not dead. He's just unconscious. And when he wakes up, what does he do? He gets up and he walks back into the same town to start preaching again. And sometimes when you read about him, you're like, is this guy for real? Like, is he even like a real person? Like, this guy's crazy. Like, the things he does, the intensity level, the trips, all that he goes through. And I think that it would have been easy, even had we lived in that day, even as it would be in our day, to look at him in times and think, man, I don't even know if I can relate to you. You seem to be on a whole nother level. You seem to be a different individual than I would even know. And I think because people could think that with all the stuff he would put down or write about and all, when he writes his letter to the church in Philippi, he points out something that's significant that we want to consider today as a primary text when he says this in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. He says, not that I have already obtained all this. Now, Paul has just finished running through, as he always does. Here's some stuff you guys need to do. Here's some stuff you shouldn't be doing. And I guess in fear that people could be reading his letter and think, come on, how can I keep up with all this stuff? Paul says about himself, not that I've already obtained all of this. It's almost like, whew, turns out you're human after all. Or have already arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Hey, let's pray and then spend a little time talking about that today. Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for your word. I thank you for the example that Paul does set for us, but I also thank you for his humanity even there as well, Lord God, where he tells us that he doesn't have it all down, but he doesn't quit. He doesn't give up. He continues to press on in his walk with you. I pray that it will be all of our testimony as well, that we too will be a people, men and women of God, who continue to press toward all that you have called us to in our growth in you. In the name of Jesus. Church, would you pray with me today? Lord, help me to not quit, but keep growing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I love the ocean. I'm an ocean person. Where are my fellow ocean lovers? Anybody who loves to swim in the ocean? I love to. I love to swim in the ocean. I love the ocean. I didn't grow up swimming in the ocean. I grew up South Central Virginia, but over the years, I've had a lot of opportunity. My wife is Puerto Rican. I've been to Puerto Rico a lot of times, 20 plus times, and the ocean there is amazing. And I know it's the same water, but Come on, if you're from the islands, you know what I'm talking about. It's not the same thing, man. It's on a whole nother level when you go down there. So the ocean's incredible. It's like a pool. It's warm. It's clear. I love it. I love to swim in it. Now, I'm not a beach person because I'll burn like a strip of bacon in a pan if I lay it out in the sand in the sun. I can't do that. So I have to be in the water or like under the trees or under a canopy. When I come out from the shade, I just have to run to the water. Yeah, so I can't be in the middle. You won't find me just laying basking in the sun, but I love the ocean. So we go there, love to swim in it. We're in Puerto Rico one time, and we're there at the shore, and I see off in the distance, there's some rocks off in the distance, and there's like a mound of them. It's not even really much of an island. It's just rocks, and I'm trying to assess it while I'm standing there, and I'm not that bad of a swimmer, and I'm thinking, I think I can make it. I think I can make it. How many of you think that was a good idea? Thank you, George, in the back. I appreciate the vote of confidence in the back. Yes, so some of you are like, oh, but come on, I'm standing here. You know I lived. Whatever the story is, you know I lived. So I'm thinking, I think I can make it. You know, I think I can rest if I need to on the way out there. I'll float, whatever. So I decide to go for it. So I start swimming, and I swim and swim and swim, and I swim some more, and I'm tired. When I get tired, I flip over. I float on my back some. I keep swimming. Finally, after swimming for what seems like forever, I finally get to the rocks. And I climb up on the rocks, and I climb up, and I sit down, and I am exhausted. I mean, I'm totally exhausted. But what am I going to have to do now? I got to get back. But I'm exhausted. I mean, my heart is racing. I'm breathing heavy. I'm sitting out there. It's far. I was like, wow, that's farther than I thought it was. So I decide I'm going to sit here for a while and just rest. I need to get all my energy back. I need to know that I'm okay. And my wife and my sons are up there playing at the sand, and I see people, and I'm out there on the rocks, and I'm like, nobody's checking up on me. I hope they can see me. But anyway, so I'm out there, and finally, once I'm well rested, I have my energy back. I got to get back before the sun goes down. I decide it's time to go back. And so I start to climb down off the rocks, and as I'm stepping down off of them, my foot slips and goes between two rocks, and I feel this pain that is so sharp, it's unreal, and I know I have cut myself pretty severely, it feels like. And as I slipped in there and my foot hit that, I leapt off into the water, and I'm there treading water, and I get myself situated, and I bring my foot up to see how bad I have cut myself. And when I bring my foot up, there's no blood and there's no cut. Instead, there are these long black needles sticking out of my foot. Who knows what it is? Some of you are nodding. Some of you already know. All right. I didn't grow up around the ocean. I love the ocean, but I don't know all about it. All right. So I didn't know what it was. I was convinced that, you know, a poisonous Puerto Rican sea porcupine, it stabbed me in the foot or something. And I'm there, and I was like, what is that? And I'm thinking, I don't believe this. But I'm out there. I have to swim back with these needles sticking out of my foot. And I remember when I was a kid, we were told, if you ever get bit by a poisonous snake, this is growing up out in the country, you got to stay calm, because otherwise you rush the poison to your heart. I don't know how you get bit by a poisonous snake and stay calm. But anyway, they would say, stay calm so you don't speed up your blood flow. So I'm thinking, got to stay calm, got to stay calm. The poisonous Puerto Rican sea porcupine got me in the foot, but I got to get back and I got to take my time. So I start swimming, and I'm swimming, and I'm swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming, 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 swimming. So I'm swimming, and I'm swimming, and I can't quit. Halfway through, I'm tired. I have poisonous needles in my foot. And what can I not do? Well, I can keep going, but I can't stop. I can't be like, you know what? I'll finish tomorrow. I can't say, you know what? I'm just going to wait. Yeah. No, the only option I have is I have to keep going. That's the only thing I can choose. And I keep going, and I'm standing here. Obviously, I made it. If you didn't know what it was, it was a sea urchin. I didn't know what a sea urchin was. Now I know what a sea urchin is. But anyway, the sea urchin got me. It wasn't poisonous, but I got to go to the hospital or clinic or wherever for him to work on my foot. And I do remember when I was there, they put me up, and the doctor said all sorts of things to my wife in Spanish. And I spoke very little Spanish at the time, and I wouldn't have understood him anyway with what he's saying. And when he was done, my wife just looked at him and went, okay. And I said, what did he say? And she says something like, hey, he says he's going to fix your foot. And I'm like, he said a lot more than that. Yeah. Like, what did he say? Yeah. It's my foot. So anyway, he got me fixed up. I'm here. I couldn't quit. I couldn't quit. My goal was the shore. It was my only option. I had to keep straining toward what is ahead. Paul, on his journey, that's what he talks about here in this text. He talks about in his journey through life and in his Christian walk, he went through some real ups and downs, and we know that. Paul went through some stuff. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He knew what it was to be cold. He knew what it was to be without food. He knew what it was to be in prison, to be in chains, to go through struggles. He knew all these things. He knew what it was to be in conflict at times with other people, even at church. He went through that stuff as you read through Acts. But there's one thing that Paul said he did in spite of all of that, and that was, he says, I never quit. I never give up in my walk with God. I keep going forward. Christians aren't quitters. I'll let that hang there for a second. Christians aren't cowards. Christians keep going. Tell your neighbor you can't quit. Come on. Now, what that looks like isn't always the same for everybody, but we're not quitters. We keep pressing on. We keep going forward. I love this quote I want to show you just as an encouragement to you today. It's not a verse, it's a great quote that I've read along the way. It says, speaking of just continuing and being courageous, it says, courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the little voice at the end of the day that says, I'll try again tomorrow. I love that. That's a courageous individual. And as a believer, it is to live your life knowing that the mercies of God are new every morning. And no matter what happened yesterday, I can't quit. I get up tomorrow and I keep living for Jesus. I keep growing. I keep pressing on. That's a good place for an amen. Thank you. Thank you for those of you who cooperated. Yes. The rest of you, I'll get you on the next one. We keep going. Come on. That's who we are as believers in Christ Jesus. I want you to consider a few things with me about that real quick today that apply to that and how Paul lived. One of them is that Christ redeemed you with a goal in mind. That's what we're pressing toward, is the goal. Christ redeemed you with a goal in mind. Now, I know a guy who saved someone from a burning car one time. He worked for the Department of Transportation, and there was an accident where he was working on the road crew, and this car flipped over, and it was like out of a movie. The car lit on fire. It was burning, and this guy I know ran over and got the door open and drugged the person out to safety, and he saved their life. And that's a pretty cool story, and it's a true story. He was in the newspaper the next day, and they talked about him on the news, and then the governor of Virginia gave him this like special plaque and award for heroic service and all those things, and that's really cool. But let me tell you something that he didn't do. He didn't get the guy out of the car and then drag him along and get him to the side and then say to him, hey, I saved you, but listen, now that I saved you, you have to love me with all your heart for the rest of your life, and you have to do all the things that I want you to do, and you can't do the things that I don't want you to do, and I'm going to tell you how to live your life from now on, all right? That guy would be like, look, thanks, buddy, for dragging me out the car, but I'm not in on this deal. I'm not yours now. But here's the thing. Jesus saved us, right? But Jesus didn't just save us. Jesus bought us. He bought us. The Bible says that we are not our own, but we have been bought with a price. So I was not in the ocean drowning, and Jesus threw a life preserver to me and pulled me in, and then I'm like, woohoo, now I'm okay, and I go my own way. Jesus pulled you in and then said, and now you're mine. Now you're mine. You belong to me now. Christ redeemed you with a goal in mind. There was a purpose to our redemption. And the purpose to the redemption of Christ was not simply to keep you out of hell. The purpose of Christ's redemption was to get hell out of you. Hello. Jesus didn't save me just to get me to heaven. Jesus saved me to get heaven into me. Jesus saved me because not only would there be a kingdom that I'm going to, but the kingdom of God was at hand. And the kingdom of God was to be at work in my life now as well. That's what he did for us. Jesus saved us. Paul said this in that text we read. He said, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Christ redeemed you with a goal in mind. He came into our lives, and again, it was more than just about eternity. He saved us, he brought us back to life, and he took a hold of us for the same reason he took a hold of Paul. It was a plan to transform our lives, to make us holy. Christ redeemed you with this goal in mind. There's a purpose to your salvation already that's not simply about eternity. Jesus said that our prayer is to be, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God already wants his will done in our lives already now. Amen? It's about now. It's about the here and now. It's not just about eternity. Christ has a goal for you. He's perfecting you. You're already his masterpiece, but you're still a work in progress, and he's not going to give up on you. He's not going to give up on me, praise God. So Christ redeemed us with this goal of transforming us into who he would have us to be. Now, if you've ever been on a road trip that is long with kids, or even if you've ever been a kid and you were taken on a road trip, that's where this joke phrase comes up at times that kids really ask of, are we there yet? Which is what I titled today's message. Are we there yet? We asked that. Well, if you had asked Paul that, Paul, are you there yet? His answer was, no, I'm not there yet, but I don't quit. Are you there yet? No. There is a goal. Christ redeemed me with the goal of transforming my life and making me into what he wanted me to be. Am I there yet? No, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet, but that's still the goal. That's still the purpose. You're not there yet. If you think you're there yet, trust me, the person sitting next to you knows you're not, all right? They know, no, you're not even close. You got a long ways to go. So we continue in the journey, and that brings us really to Paul's next thing there, and that is that we have to press on. We can't quit. Paul says that he continued to press toward the goal that Jesus had taken a hold of him for. He was, I don't stop. I know that's the goal. Now, I have a can here with me that Jorge found for me this morning, and a lot of you will know what it is when you see it. Maybe all of you will know what it is when you see it. What's this right here? I heard some of you say it. What is it? It's WD-40. Now, somebody might know, so I don't necessarily want you to... I broke it, Jorge. Sorry. Yeah, it's no good anymore. We have to take it back to Home Depot. So, some of you will know what... You know what it's for. You know how you use it, many of you. Anybody know what the WD means? Oh, I thought somebody might know. Nobody knows what the WD means? Don't answer because you were in the 8:30 service. That's cheating. Yes. Yeah, so the WD means water displacement. It's not someone's initials. It means water displacement. And these three guys who had this lab in San Diego in like 1958, they were trying to invent a product that they could use to get grease off of things, even if it was wet, and they wanted it to be able to be used in the space industry. Space was big at that time, Sputnik, all that stuff, rockets and everything. So they came out with this product, and the WD is water displacement. If you want to know what the 40 is, it's because WD-1 didn't work. Did you catch that? You know why this is not WD-5? Come on, stay with me. WD-5 didn't work. So since WD-5 didn't work, they had to try again. And guess what they called their next product? You guys are sharp. Some of you got it. WD-6. But guess what happened to WD-6? It didn't work. So they had to come out with something else. And they got creative the next time. What do you think they called it? Oh, you're catching on now. They called it WD-7. But WD-7 didn't work. And WD-8 didn't work. And WD-25 didn't work. And WD-32 didn't work. And on their 40th try, it worked. So they called it WD-40. 40 is the 40th try. On the 40th try. What if they had quit at WD-28? We don't have this. What if they quit at WD-34? They kept going until they got to the end and got the product. And of course, you'd have to say they did quite well. Thomas Edison, when he invented the light bulb, if you know the story, you know that he made over 1,000 light bulbs trying to get one that would stay on, the incandescent light bulb. It wasn't a first try thing. He tried and tried. They would blow up. They would burn out. They wouldn't stay on. The light wasn't right. He just kept trying over 1,000 tries until finally he got a light bulb that would stay on. And when it did, and it became known that how many attempts he had, a reporter asked him in an interview, how did it feel to fail 1,000 times? And Thomas Edison said this. He said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. It took him that many tries, but he didn't quit. He kept going. He continued to work toward that goal. In our walk with God, it's the same. We press on. We don't quit. I was standing on the street one time on a cold night in New York giving out cups of hot chocolate, and a guy came up to me, and I handed him a cup, said, "Hey, God bless you," and handed it to him, and he took it, and he took a swallow, and tears started to run down his cheeks. And he looked at me, and he says, "I love Jesus, but I'm a failure at living for God." And I said to him, "But you can't quit. You got to keep living for God. The mercies of God are new every morning. I want to encourage you, keep living for Him. Keep pressing on. Keep growing in your walk with Him." Prayed for him. And of course, I don't know where that guy is today, if you will, but I hope that he continued to do that. That's true for all of us. Paul says, "I haven't attained all this yet. I don't have all these lists down yet. I don't have all these character issues worked out in my life yet," he says. "I don't have it all down, but I don't quit. I press on." And then he gives the last thing that he does. He says, "I continue on," and he says, "I also forget what's behind." Now, Paul has a lot behind him. He's got a whole lot behind him. We talked about some of them. I mean, at one time, Paul is the enemy of the church. This is a guy who was a part of having Christians put to death, Christians beaten, put in prison. All of that is there and is behind him. He was not only an enemy of the church, but even once a believer and was doing well, he still had things happen along the way. He had the things that he went through and all that kind of stuff, but he had experienced personal conflict along the way with other believers in the church. It never happened at this church before, but in other churches, sometimes the Christians don't get along with each other. That's hard for you to believe, but it has happened in some other churches before, that sometimes believers don't get along with each other. In fact, Paul's experience had been that there had been so much conflict that he and other believers had had to part ways before and couldn't even work with each other any longer. And yet they were all still believers. And so this was behind him. The conflicts were behind him. These issues were behind him. The trials he had been through, the hardships, all of these things were behind him. And yet Paul said, "The thing that I do is I press on, and what's behind me, I forget about it. I leave it behind me. I can't go backwards." Hey, if you lose something, people will tell you to do what? They'll say, "Retrace your steps. Retrace your steps, and maybe you'll find it." And you can do that. If you're driving down the road and you realize you're going the wrong way, what can you do? You can turn around, right? The GPS will say recalculating or whatever, and it'll say make a legal U-turn, but you don't care. You just drive over the medium or something, but you just get back. Yeah, so, and you get back, and you turn around when you're driving the wrong way. We can do that. But in life, when things come along the way, you can't go backwards. You can't go backwards. Now, if I look back over my life, I would be able to recall specific situations or circumstances, and I would say, you know what? If I could do that again, I would do that differently. Hello. If I was there again, I wouldn't say that. If I was there again, I wouldn't do that. I would do this differently the next time than I did it last time. But guess what? I'll never get to. I'll never get to. I can't go back and relive a situation again. I can apologize. I can make amends if I do something wrong. But I can't live it again. You can't go backwards. The only thing you can do is kind of get stuck in a rut where you're at. Or you can do what Paul said. That is, you can keep going forward. You leave your past behind you and you press on. You continue forward. Now, there's a great illustration that's used to show value sometimes along the way that I want to use today as well, just with money. Now, I have a piece of money here in my hand. How much is this? Can you see it? Help out the people in the back if they can't see it. How much do I have in my hand? A few people said it. Call it loud. Call it loud. Come on. It's $20. How much is a $20 bill worth? It's not that complicated. You're good. Come on. Yes. You're like, oh no. You're like, what's the exchange rate right now? Don't think like that. Just stay with me. Keep it simple. It's worth $20. If I go to the Shell right up from the church right here, and I walk in, I lay this on the counter, and I say, "How much gas can I have? How much gas will he let me have?" $20 worth. If I go to the restaurant, how much food can I buy? If I go to the Giant and I want to get some groceries, how much groceries can I get? $20. That's what I can get. This is worth $20. Wherever I go, I get $20 with it. So, and if I gave it to you, how much will you have? $20. Who would like for me to give them $20? Yep, look at the hands all over the room. Yep. Put your hands down. It's because, I know what it is, because you're saving the $120 for the offering on September 8th. Right, yeah. Give your own money. All right, so it's worth $20. But what if I do this to it? How much is it worth now? Still? What if I take it and I throw it on the floor? What if I stomp on it? Now, I asked before who would want it. You wouldn't. You'd still want it? You would still want it after I balled it up and stomped on it? What if I threw it against the wall? Would you still want it? Really? How much is it worth now? Watch this. If I can see that a piece of paper is still worth the same thing, no matter what it's been through, how much more ought I be able to see that I am of just as high a value, no matter what I've been through as well? Because somehow we believe it easy about this, but then in our own lives, things have happened in the past that make us think less of ourselves, as if now I am worth less, I am not as significant, I'm whatever, I'm abused, I'm beat up, I'm wasted by day. No. You still have the same value today that you have ever had. God loves you the same today just as much as he has ever loved you. God will never love you more than he loves you right now. God will never love you less than he loves you right now. He loves you with an everlasting love. It is continued. That value does not change. And if we can see it in this, and by the way, none of you are getting this, so just, I don't know why you were thinking that. Yeah. If you can see it in that, we ought to be able to see it in ourselves. That we're of worth also. And because of that, no matter what has happened, and of course things have happened. They've happened to you, they've happened to me, just like they happened to Paul. It's happened to all of us. Nobody gets a free ride. If you ever look at somebody else and think, well, so-and-so, they got it easy. Trust me, if you were in their shoes, nobody got a free ride. Everybody's been through some junk. Hello. Everybody's been through some stuff, some ups and downs and hard times. We've all been there. But no matter what has happened, Paul says, I leave the past behind me. I forget what's behind. And I don't quit. I press on. I keep walking with God. I continue. Because that's what he's pressing on toward. He's not pressing on toward making WD-40. He's pressing on toward the mark of what Christ Jesus took a hold of him for. He says, Christ Jesus took a hold of you not simply to get you to heaven. He took a hold of you to get heaven in you. Are you with me? He took a hold of you to transform your life, to change you, to make you into something new, to make you into what he created you to be. And Paul said, I don't have that down yet, but I keep heading toward it. I never quit. No matter what happens along the way, I press on. And that's our challenge today, is no matter what life has brought our way, no matter where we're at right now as well, to recognize, you know what? I'm as of much value to God today as I have ever been. And what's behind me is behind me, and I'm going to keep going forward. I'm going to keep growing. I'm going to keep increasing in who I am in Christ, and I'm not going to quit in my walk with God. Amen? I'm going to keep pressing toward the goal. Here's the good news. He's never going to give up on you. He's never going to give up on you. We know that he who began a good work within you, guess what? He's going to be faithful. What if you're not faithful? He's still going to be faithful. He's going to be faithful to bring it through to completion. So on our end it is, you know what, God? I'm working with you in this thing. I'm going to keep pressing on toward that as well. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Maybe along the way you felt like that man I met on the side of the road, on the sidewalk that night. Maybe along the way you've thought to yourself, you know, I love God. I do love God, but I feel sometimes like I'm just a failure in living for him. Maybe you felt that way. The answer to you is the same as it would be to him, and that is, you can't do anything about yesterday other than leave that under the blood. God, forgive me. But you can say, you know what, God? I'm going to keep living for you. I'm going to keep growing in my walk with you. I'm going to keep pressing on toward who you are and becoming who you would have me be. I'm going to keep running the race. I'm going to keep pressing forward. I'm going to keep swimming, if you will. I'm not giving up. That's God's call to us. That's God's call to us as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to challenge you to commit yourself to that today. To commit yourself to that today. To say, you know what, God? I know. I know I'm not who I need to be. Maybe you're not as far along in your walk as you feel like you should be. Wherever you're at, I don't know. Say to God on your own right now, you know, God, I know I'm not there yet, God. I know I'm not who I need. I know my character is still flawed. I don't have it all down, God. But God, I'm staying in. I'm yours. I'm staying in the race. I'm going to keep pressing forward, God. I've blown it along the way. People have hurt me and different things have happened, but God, I stay in. I keep pressing on. I forget what's behind and I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark, that which you laid hold of me for, hallelujah. Commit yourself to that today. If you're here today and you're not really in a walk with God, maybe you're just kind of living life on your own. You say, well, Pastor, that all sounds really cool, but I'm not even trying to live the way God wants me to live. I haven't even tried to do that. I can tell you today that's what you were made for. That's what God created you for. You were created for that purpose. God created you as an eternal being, wanting to redeem you, wanting to adopt you into his family, the family of God, wanting you to spend eternity with him. And if that's you, I encourage you, I challenge you today to ask God to forgive you of your sins, to invite Jesus to come in and be the Lord of your life and to commit yourself to him. Say, you know what, God, I'm going to live my life the way you want me to live it. And I don't have it all down yet, but I'm going to head in that direction. I'm going to grow. I'm going to live for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Meet each of us where we are. Like Paul, we haven't attained yet, Lord. We don't have it all down yet. But we've got this one down. We continue to grow. We continue to press toward that which you redeemed us for. Hallelujah. Father, we need you. We need your strength. We're grateful for your mercies that are new every morning. We're grateful for your faithfulness, Lord God. Even when we've not been, you have been. We thank you that you redeemed us with a purpose. And we commit ourselves today. We commit ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to keep growing in you, to increase in you, in our walk with you and in our relationship with you. We say yes to you. We thank you for our worth. We thank you for our value, Lord God. We thank you that you love us just as much now as you ever have, no matter what we've ever done, Lord God. We know that we're still worth the cross. You went to the cross for us, Jesus. We're worth that to you. We mean that much to you. We thank you that has never changed. Because of it, Lord God, I pray that we will press on, keep living for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's do it. Amen. Let's live for him. Amen. Give God praise. We thank him for his word. Don't quit. Don't jump out of the race. Keep growing in your walk with God. Amen. God bless you. You can do that. Live victoriously this week in Christ Jesus. As always, if you want to pray, you feel free to come up. Outside of that, you carry this word with you and keep living for him. God bless you.